BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
This is a podcast from the big British castle, made from a pre-recorded Adam and Joe show radiogram. It features toxic levels of ramshackulosity, so please ensure your ramble filters are installed, whatever you're called.
Listen, so I would like your advice, Adam.
Yeah.
Do you text? Do you like to text people?
I do it once in a while. The reception I have is not so good, so
I'm a keen texter. I love to text. Do you, when you text someone, do you put a little kiss at the end?
No, I don't go for the kiss. No, I just go for the initial.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, this is a factor in emailing as well, isn't it? How you sign off emails.
Actually, now you mention it, I go for the initial in an email when it's clear who it's from.
You do a kiss?
No kissing. Never.
No. You never kiss.
Or I put love.
You put love.
Yeah.
Love ad.
Yeah. In an email.
You see, when I first started texting many years ago, the person I used to text the most, my text buddy, he used to put a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
See you later. Bye. See you at the cinema. So I got
not
into the
three
habit
kisses,
of...
Though, was it?
Not three kisses, just one. I'm exaggerating for effect. Yeah.
See you later.
Well, it's a weird thing, isn't it? Because he's not a man I would kiss.
Yeah.
I mean, not really even... I would kiss him on the cheek, but not regularly. And you find yourself in funny situations when you put a kiss after a text. For instance, I was texting a friend, quite a new friend, and, you know, the kisses were flying. It was very mundane conversation, like meeting up and where you're going to be and so. But at the end of everything, it was a little kiss. So what do you do, like, for instance, so your opening one can have a kiss because maybe you think the conversation's not going to go that far.
Yeah.
But then we ended up having quite a long conversation and I was still doing the kiss at the end of each.
Well, you started kissing him too.
Yeah.
You are so easily led.
It's just a fun... I mean, it doesn't mean I want to kiss the friend necessarily.
Oh, it does.
Does it?
Yeah.
But that's one of the dangerous areas because he stopped putting kisses at the end of his
messages. He was getting freaked out.
Messages. I kept sending the kisses.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay, then. That sounds good. Can you imagine if in a real conversation you just, after every sentence, you just leant in and...
And then you might be like one of those Euro people who go for, one of the random people who go for a lip kiss.
A lip kiss.
Oh.
There's someone I'm working with on the thing I'm working on, quite a professional guy. And at the end of every email, whatever it's about, it's big kiss, small kiss, big hug, small hug, kiss.
How do you do a hug?
A circle, I do believe.
Is that a hug?
Well, I think so, unless it's something more racy.
I think it's what if it's mouth, some other kind of mouth pleasure?
A tongue kiss?
Yeah.
I mean, these are quite business-like emails we're getting about, you know, photography tests and stuff. And it'll be, yeah, the tests look really good. See you on Monday. that was a tongue kiss I was doing there. But I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue kissing because I think, you know, sometimes you have to take a view on whether to do that kind of thing in a message to your parents as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or whether to do it, you know, sometimes the professional and personal boundary can be blurred. If you're working with someone important who you're also friendly with, is it good to give them a couple of kisses?
I just go for the catch-all
love ad.
Which I think for some people is probably a bit creepy anyway, but...
I'm going to carry on kissing.
You carry on, man. But I hope you take precautions.
Thank you.
Just talking.
A Simple Minds from 1982. And listen, I've got to correct some little mistakes I made. Simon Martin has kindly emailed in to point out that Takashi Miike didn't... No one's going to care about this apart from me and Simon. But Takashi Miike didn't direct Midnight Meat Train. It was Ryuhei Kitamura who directed Versus. It's a completely different kettle of fish.
I would say a lot of people would care about
that.
No,
but for Asian cinema fans, that's a terrible, sleepy Saturday morning
mistake. For any kind of cinema
fan. And I think I even said it last week as well on the podcast. What an Idiot hole.
Idiot hole.
How am I going to hold my head up at nerd conventions?
I didn't say anything in the week, but my mum immediately was on the phone.
Was she?
Joe, did I hear right? Did you just say that Takashi Miike directed Meat Train? What an idiot hole.
That's depressing. I'm sorry. I apologise to your mum.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, it's time for some more Text the Nations. Here's another extraordinary listener-made jingle, right?
Yes, this is from someone called Zav. I don't know if it's not Zavi, is it? Otherwise he'd be going out of business. Shut up. This is Zav's jingle, and it's a kind of a Stephen Hawking-type Text the Nation effort.
Text the Nation, text the Nation. What if I don't want to text the Nation, but I'm using email? Is that a problem? It doesn't matter.
Wow, it's frightening, isn't it? Both of those jingles we've used this morning sort of portend a future of kind of very crappy robots taking over.
Radiohead-style technological alienation.
Yeah, wouldn't that be disappointing if instead of a sort of sexy Terminator-style apocalyptic future, there was a sort of Steve Jobs, PC world, sort of laptop-style takeover, and they all spoke like those automatic voices?
I think it would be exciting and fun.
It'd be more dealable with, wouldn't it? Less frightening.
Well, at least you would know who was who. The scary thing is when you can't tell. Who's human and who's a robot?
Well, that's not going to happen for a bit, is it? Because the voices are still very synthesized.
Yeah, still rubbish.
Yeah. Anyway, Text the Nation this week is about sort of disgusting personal habits that you have that you do almost subconsciously in company.
We were talking a little bit about, we were just getting to the whole area of smelling things before. Are you someone that smells your socks?
No.
One of the nice bits in A Fish Called Wanda is when John Cleese's character Archie Leach is sat on his bed, and they're sort of illustrating the passionless marriage that he has. Mm. And he sort of very robotically sits down on his bed, removes his socks, and just gives them a little sniff before climbing into bed. And I it's something that I've done. Have you never done that?
To see whether they need washing or not.
Is that the theory?
I might do that, yeah. Or sniff the underarm of a used shirt to see whether you can get another day.
Get another day out of it. Well, I always assume that it's going to need washing. Sometimes I just like to have a little sniff out of curiosity.
Here are some stuff we've had from listeners. Mimi says, I have an habit.
Ooh.
Now, that's the correct English, isn't it?
Because no,
habit
it's
begins
not
with H.
An habit.
I have an habit and discovered that we are a lot to do it. I smell the sweat created by my watch on my wrist.
Ah,
it's addictive.
Yes.
When you start to smell it, it's difficult to get away from it. This is something people used to do at school, didn't they?
Sure. Especially with leather watch straps, they can build up quite a stinky little sweat.
And I've never done that. Is it? It's a nice stink, is it?
No, it's not. It's unpleasant. But you see, this is the thing.
You keep coming back for it.
It's like smelling your own airborne toxic events. Mm. There's something fascinating about it.
Yeah. Here's one from Erica. I like, really, truly enjoy when I'm alone, trying not to swallow my spit and seeing how much I can keep in my mouth before I drool on myself.
Wow, I do remember that from when I was littler.
Do you?
Yeah.
Erica, are you not? Are you sure Erica isn't in some sort of an institution?
Like a big lake of spittle. I do remember that. The other one, of course, is after you've drunk some kind of chemically fizzy pop, your spit gets a certain consistency that enables you to do very long drools, which you can then retract into your mouth. That's a slightly different thing.
Lovely. Jo, on her way to Cornwall, I think it's a her because it's a J-O, says my husband, and she's got a husband, well, you know, that. Well, anyway, let's get into this. My husband was once given a keyring with his friend's long toenail on it, which he'd grown especially for it.
Oh,
so he'd grown his toenail extra long and turned it into a keyring.
Toenail as well, that's grim.
Jim from Wrexham, I pick out the open inverted commas eye gold, close inverted commas, out subconsciously mid-conversation and eat it.
Oh, I've never heard of anyone actually eating.
No, that's peculiar. I'd like to know what it tastes like.
Eye gold. He's talking about sleep, some people call it, don't they?
Yeah, that builds up in your eye.
Eye gunk.
Here's an extraordinary one.
Eye gold.
This is anonymous, I think, for reasons that'll become obvious. When he's watching TV, my stepdad likes to regurgitate bits of dinner into his mouth not so subtly disguised as coughing. He then chews on whatever treasures he's found and swallows it back down. He thinks no one's watching, but me and my sister know exactly what's going on. He's probably pleased when we have to leave the room in disgust so he can carry on with more gusto. That's pretty revolting.
That is
it?
A good one.
It was one amazing one.
Have you never done that?
Everyone's done that, I think.
From time to time.
And you
time.
Pick your teeth. I mean, you're not going to spit it out, are you? You just give it a little
yeah.
munch.
And you do pretend. You do. But the thing is that you get busted every now and again, right? Because everyone knows you finished your meal a while ago. Suddenly, why is he chewing still?
Well, it's the idea of this guy coughing. And then the little dramatic pause you'd leave. You don't do it straight away because that's too obvious. You'd yeah. leave a little pause and then... and then do the chewing.
Sometimes it's quite welcome.
What, for the people
like
around
second,
you?
No, for the person who is
of course.
A little second course.
It's tasty, yeah. But listen, here's the most revolting one from John in Hounslow. I used to have a disgusting habit, which I ceased upon quitting eating Wotsits. While eating the delicious salty puffs, I would chew plenty at once, then grab a fresh Wotsit and spit out the chewed up mass of
what?
Mashed cheesy puff gunk into a sort of ball on the end so it resembled a savoury lollipop.
What? Sorry. My
Your computer
just restarted in absolute revulsion.
Then I placed it back into the packet and let it solidify over a few minutes. Then I would eat it again. It had a different
what?
Texture and tasted like a glorious treat I made up myself.
Sweet. Baby
observers were known to throw up.
I'm sure.
So that's amazing. That's like a whole new manufacturing process. I mean, that's sort of going into animal kingdom behavior, isn't it?
Really, that's going
I mean,
beyond.
That's becoming subhuman.
Mother Nature has not gotten anything like that in its amazingly
locker.
Bizarre locker.
Adam and Joe.
Naughty.
Nipples.
So, hi, this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Great to be back, listeners. We've missed you very badly. But we had a nice holiday, right? I mean, you had a good break, Joe.
Yeah, I had a very good break.
Did you manage to get away at all?
I did. I went away for 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
On the eighth day, what did you do?
Of holidays, my true love gave to me.
Wasn't there a Hazel O'Connor song called The Eighth Day?
There was one where she counted through the days, yeah. Oh, man, I got used to have that on 7-inch.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. Anyway, I managed to go away to France. I had a lovely time. On the plane, after we'd stuck Vaseline up our noses to stop the germs getting in there, a baby started crying. And we were on a popular budget airline, a no-frills airline, where they rip you off for absolutely every single thing they can.
Was it Bright Orange?
No, it was not the Bright Orange one. It rhymed with Brian Air. But I can't tell you which one it was.
The green one.
And it's one of those things. There's a lot of families on those planes, you know, because if you travel with your family, you want to save money, obviously, so you go for the cheapest option possible a lot of the time. But it does result in a huge amount of screamosity on the actual plane when you get on there from the young children. And there's nothing you can do about this. And there should be an understanding amongst other passengers who don't have children that, you know, it's just one of those things that happen. But you can't stop yourself as a passenger yourself, if you're not with children, hating the parents of the screamy little children, right? And I've got children myself. I've got two young boys and I've got a baby daughter, right? She actually behaved pretty well on the flight out. On the way back, she was pretty screamy. So, but that didn't stop me being annoyed by other people's children when they cried. Check out a tiny clip of the baby we got going out, right?
Do not place your life jacket inside the cabin. Not to do so would have been before departure, you'd ask to ensure that your seatbelt is securely fastened, your tray table is upright in one position, arm rest down, and the deadline is fully open.
She was just warming up as well.
Oh, my God.
That was when we're still on the tarmac and the guy's giving the announcements. And that's when most of the children really get going with the screaming because they're annoyed and they don't understand why they've been on the tarmac for like 20 minutes while you get going. And anyway, there you go. That was one of the fun things about my holiday was the screaming. But as I said earlier in the show, I misunderstood. I thought we had to do Song Wars songs about our time on holiday, specifically getting back from holiday. In the end... we didn't both do them, but I did. I did a song about getting back from holiday.
Mm.
And as we don't have a Song Wars battle for you this week, I'm just going to play it anyway. And you can speculate as to whether it would have been trounced or not.
We could. Listen, I'm really happy to make mine about coming back from holiday if you want to hold on to your song for next week.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you're making extra work for yourself.
I know I am.
Because now you're going to have to do a whole new one for next week.
And I really killed myself this week getting it done as well.
I mean, are we going to do another one for next week, really? Is that what we're saying?
No, let's do one for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks?
Yeah, for tweaks.
Right. Okay.
How about that?
Well, that's very noble of you.
Yeah.
So you're just sort of casting this song into the void.
Yes, exactly.
But in a way, you've won.
Well,
because there's no competition.
It might be the only time that one song is defeated, even when there's
just
no
by contest. Silence.
Yeah. Because check out some of the singing I do on this one. Right, I take it to a whole new level. This is a song about coming back from holiday called "The Coming Back from Holiday Blues."
I'm on my summer holidays in France. Eat food, drink booze, I don't wear shoes, and very seldom pass. But in 3 days I have to travel home and watch my tan just fade away neath English skies of flinty grey. I've got the coming back from holiday blues, from my sun hat down to my flip-flop shoes. There's still 3 days of my holiday left, but the thought of going home is making me depressed. Each sunset now is flecked with tears, and the tears are dripping into my beers, and the beers are running out, and so are the days till I have to go back to my ordinary ways. Can't you leave me here, drinking cans of French beer, lying in the summer sun, having semi-nudie fun? Why can't the bad times just be never, and the good times last forever? And I'm opening the horrible mail, and I haven't paid the bills, and I'm going to jail, and the news that I missed is making me sad, and there's something in the fridge that smells very bad. Have to wait another year till I'm drinking Frenchy beer, lying in the summer sun, having semi-nudie fun. 50 weeks of work is what we have to give for two of pleasure. It's Christmas time, and I expect to soon, so everything's fine. Then I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. In the meantime, I can drink imported beer.
This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. I'm Adam.
I'm Joe. And we're excited to be announced that the BBC have recently rehired us. They've renewed our contract, so we're going to be here for another year.
Yeah, we're delighted.
It's very exciting. But it's made me think that we should maybe raise our game a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was listening to Steve Wright the other day. Mm. And he's a very professional and seasoned DJ, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got his 10,000 hours in, though.
One of the things that, you know, differentiates him from us...
One of the many things.
...is that he never says...
Does he not say and ah?
He doesn't and ah.
Right.
If you listen to Steve Wright... He knows. He seems to know what he's going to say, and he says it with no ambiguity or dilly-dallying.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not very good at that.
He might script some of his stuff, though.
Do you think?
Possibly.
Well, maybe we should start scripting. I just think we are manar a lot.
Well, we do, but that's because we're thinking off the top of our very small brains.
But don't you think more professional DJs are better at talkings?
There's no question. We're never going to be one of the greats. We're never going to be at the level of Nicky Campbell.
It used to annoy your brother, didn't it?
Yes.
The amount that we are manar.
That's funny that it stuck in your head. Well, someone as well once sent me a mini disc where they had edited out all the ums and ahs from our show.
No.
And left just the ums and ahs in and got rid of everything else.
No.
It was just a lot. It went on for about 5 minutes.
Did it?
Yeah. I think he'd done it like as it was just a listener, you know, it was not someone I knew. I think he'd done it because he thought we might find it amusing, but it was like a corkscrew to my heart.
Well, expose your heart, because I've tried it as well.
Oh, have you?
I took a 15-minute section of one of our podcasts.
Oh, dear.
And just left the ums and ahs.
Right.
Do you want to hear it?
All right, then.
This is how many we do in 15 minutes of broadcasting.
Just 15?
Yeah.
Boom.
and,
That's almost a symphony. You could make a really good song out of that.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Would it sound a bit like this?
This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
And, there we go. And, that's not dissimilar to the Timmy Mallet song.
It's a lot better than Biff Baff Boff, I'm
Do you think?
To say. Yeah.
It's got stronger lyrics.
That's very good. And did you have to change the pitch of any of those ums and ahs to make them fit there?
Nope.
No, you just... it's musical, though. At least our umming and ahring has some kind of tuneful quality to it.
Do you think?
It's not just...
you know, I think we shouldn't be ashamed of it. We should be proud of it. We should make it one of our trademarks. We should do more stumbling and fumbling.
It's hard. The thing is that once you start thinking about it, if you start worrying about things like that, it's going to get much worse.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Once you make it conscious.
I noticed that. I know I do that a lot.
There you go. You do that. Oh, that was really noticeable. You do the tut.
Yeah.
Also, I say really?
Yeah.
A lot.
I say yeah.
And you know.
Sure. You've got to have these little punctuation
points.
You've
got to have your props. It's true.
Otherwise, you're nowhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is classic. Check this out. It's classic, man. Oh, no. This is so classic. Yeah, look at that. It's classic.
So. That was Polytechnic with Won't You Come Around. That was taken from their 2007 album, Down Till Dawn. And guitarist, I'm sorry to tell you this, listeners, but guitarist Denny Hilton left the band in 2007.
Oh, God.
I'm really sorry about that. The four members left have begun to work on new material, so there's light at the end of the tunnel. But I think everybody was very shocked when Denny left in 2007. And the rest of the guys found it very difficult to carry on. But there is going to be... it looks as if there is going to be new material from Polytechnic, so that's okay. I'm very sorry. It's very unprofessional. I just wish Denny would get in touch.
I remember his belt.
I don't know where he is in the world.
I think about his belt.
Why did he leave? Why did he go from the band? What's he doing now? That's all. I just wish he would call.
Listen, fact check time,
yeah.
Right? Fanfalo are English.
Are they?
They're not like, well, European, so that we were right. But they're not Scandinavian. Also... Listen to this, Adam.
Go on, then.
Hi, Adam and Joe. A friend of mine is a dubbing artist. He said that all the sounds we hear on nature programmes aren't authentic. They come from a data bank of pre-recorded sounds. Karen from Bristol. Sam in Edinburgh. I'm sorry, Adam, but a great deal, if not most of the sound effects on Nature Docs are done by a Foley artist.
You what?
My soul withered a little when I found this out, but I got over it. Russell in Brighton. I remember a whole programme years ago on a woman whose job was to make the sounds for nature features. A lot of knives and cabbages, I recall.
But you...
Yeah, I'm afraid you are wrong. Here's someone. Do definitely create sounds for nature programmes, including Attenborough. There have been documentaries about it on the DVDs. How else do you think they got a time-lapsed growing bramble to creak on the plant series? it's easy to get a time-lapsed growing bramble to creak. No, hang on. The end of this text is... How else do you think they got a time-lapsed growing bramble to creak on the plant series, Adam? Return to schooling! Exclamation
mark. I am naive. Certainly, I certainly am naive. But I just assumed that in the modern climate of transparency and accountability, that you wouldn't be allowed to
get
away with things like that.
But there was a big fuss about them intercutting like a wide shot of a real squirrel with a close-up of a squirrel.
I know nature documentaries are to some extent a tissue of lies, but I assumed that nowadays you had to like be completely transparent about it and have like Bear Grylls does at the beginning of the program.
Completely.
Well, this is the thing. Is it completely or not
completely? If it was completely transparent, all nature programs would have to be live.
I'm an advocate. I liked it in the old days when everyone would lie through their teeth about everything on TV. I thought that was much more fun. I didn't care about knowing the truth. I didn't want to know the absolute truth about everything and competitions and all that rubbish. But now, in the modern climate of having to be totally 100% honest about the way everything is done in a tedious way, I can't believe that they are getting fake creeks on time-lapse growing brambles.
Can't believe you've got over Denny so quickly.
I can't believe you mentioned him.
Is that real? Do you really care about him, or was this that just like fake?
Of course I care about him. Why would I fake that? You can't fake that.
About Denny.
Here's a letter from a listener. This is from Simon Nichols. He's 21, he's male, and he's from Hemel Hempstead. Dear Adam and Joe, I'm a massive fan of the show. I work Saturdays, so I've never been part of Black Squadron, I'm afraid, but I do love the podcast. One of my favourite times to listen to your podcast is when I'm in the bath. I often tell my parents I'm going for my Adam and Joe bath. I put my laptop on the other side of the bathroom and leave a podcast on while I have a nice wash, and then I towel up and shuffle back to my room to finish listening. So this week, I was sitting on my bed, having just returned to my room, and I was listening to the podcast when I spied a Whisper Gold on my table. And then he says in brackets, other chocolate bars are available.
So he's doing Whisper Gold.
He's doing the work for us there. Thank you for that. I had just started eating the chocolate when there was a knock at the door. I froze. Suddenly, I realised I was completely naked, eating chocolate, listening to Adam and Joe. My mum, having no concept of the point of knocking, threw open the door and stepped in. You can imagine the embarrassment that ensued. Me sat in front of a laptop, listening to Adam and Joe with a half-eaten choc bar in my hand, eyes like a rabbit caught in the headlights. She simply gasped at my nudity and turned around. As she left the room, I shouted after her, "That's right, Mum! This is what I do now!" I'm not entirely sure why. We laughed about it later. Thanks much, Sam Nichols. Thanks a lot for that. I just thought I'd read that out as a nice little image portrait.
That's a couple of curious things about that. How old is that man?
21.
21. Your mum seeing you naked at 21? Is that slightly odd?
Yeah, very odd.
Odd. So when was the last time your mum saw you naked?
Well, not for a very long time.
Do you think there should be a National Nude Day?
No.
You don't think so? You don't think it would clear up a lot of mysteries?
Oh, no. Those are the mysteries I don't want.
Come to work nude?
No, thanks.
Do you think? Why not? Are you afraid of something?
No, I think...
Have you got something to hide?
What?
Saggy Botox?
Yes, of course.
Man breasts.
Obviously,
like
I've got something
bottles.
To hide. I don't want to walk around nude. If I was some kind of Adonis, not like Lord Adonis, who cruelly is rather an unattractive man, but I...
You should go on Mock the Week.
I would be. You know, if I was sexy, of course I'd walk around nude. This is nonsense. Let's play some more music. This is
hang on.
What?
The other thing is that's an ambitious bath. Laptop in the bath?
No, he made a point of saying he puts it at the other end of the bathroom.
I was talking to someone on the phone, and he was on the phone in the bath with his laptop in the bath.
What?
That's ambitious,
that's
isn't
irresponsible.
It? It got me thinking, what's the most ambitious you've ever been with a bath?
Ambitious.
Do you know what I mean in terms of stuff to do in there?
Well, like put a little mini Hadron Collider in there.
Something. Other than wash.
Oh, what's the most ambitious? That's a good question.
Trying to multitask in the bath.
Sure.
I've never used my laptop in the bath. I'd be terrified that the steam would...
Idiot hole if you
break it. Yeah, but people do.
That's moronic.
Outside my tiny little cafe in Paris, you'll find two men called Adam and Joe. All day they sit just talking away. Sometimes I listen and hear what they say. Blah 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 waffles. Blah 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 pancakes. They're making a podcast apparently. It sounds like a load of old crap to me. Oh, I am making the joke.
Join us back in the main drag here in Camden Town.
Hello. How are you? Good, thank you.
Joe's just chatting to some of the locals. We are stood in Dolly's, which is a emporium which sells pretty much anything you need to be a fashionable person.
Yeah, to blend in Camden, you'd need to spend quite a lot of money here at Dolly's, wouldn't you, to get your full kit.
There's studded fingerless gloves, which everybody needs.
I've seen one up there that is just a raised finger.
Oh, on a belt buckle.
On a belt buckle. Do you see there towards the top right?
I certainly do. That's a statement of intent, isn't it?
It's giving people the finger 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
From the groin.
From the groin is expressing something inside me that I think you know, could be usefully expressed on a belt buckle. And there's a very good range of hats here, Adam, as well. As you know, like, trilby hats are very fashionable. Do you work here, sir? Hello, we're Adam and Joe from BBC Six Music.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Asad.
Asad, nice to meet you.
We're just trying to figure out what the kids are wearing in Camden at the moment, because it's a very trendy place, isn't it?
Brilliant.
What do you think? Which hat should I go for? I mean, there's a straight bowler there. No one's wearing bowlers, are they?
Yeah, you're being recommended one by the shop staff now. He's going for the
He's
top
going
hat.
Going for the top hat. What's your name, sir?
Hussein.
Hussein?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. You have immediately picked out for me a top hat. Why was that? Why did you think I'm a top hat kind of guy?
I thought you English man, you should like a top hat, because top hat is English.
That's good.
It's made in England too.
How much is this one, sir?
It's because, you know, these one comes expensive. It's made in England.
Ah, this is where we start haggling, right?
It's not made in China.
Cut to the chase. What's the price?
£45.
45 quid? All right, yeah. I'll give you £30 cash.
£30. I'm not allowed to sell £30. What I'll do, which is my best price, and yeah, I'll get you discount, is because you know the tourists. Actually, right, we charge tourist people £5 extra.
Flipping heck, Tucker, you heard it here first.
It's because you know the tourists.
Yep.
We will get you £5 a discount. You can have it £40.
40 quid. How about
this? That was Adam. I got to say, that was really bad haggling.
Was it?
I mean, you went down by 25%. You should have cut it right down. You should have gone in on £15.
You reckon?
Yeah.
How about this? 15 quid.
That's insane. It's too late now, because you can't backtrack now.
40 quid? I just bought someone a pair of shades for 7 quid, the robot shades. Am I going to invest £40 for a hat I'm never going to wear again after I introduce
but
Madness?
You know, actually, this is high quality. It's top hat too, yeah?
Yeah.
So you can use for the fancy dress party.
What about, could you recommend a T-shirt for me? Because I don't feel very trendy here in Camden. Can you pick out a nice T-shirt that might make me a bit trendier?
Yeah, sure. That's a Bob Marley. That's too funny, and it's not your style, and I can tell.
Bart Simpson dressed as Bob Marley.
And downloading there is a bit, you know, funny joke, street joke.
But the key for me is to, I want to be really trendy. I want to be fashionable.
Fashionable.
He wants girls to look at him and think, he's not 40.
That's exactly what I want.
All I need is you, that one.
That's got a dirty. That's got a dirty word on it. We can't swear on this
that's
program.
That's got the F-bomb on it.
Oh, sorry then, the Killers.
So it's you think it's the band The Killers from a distance, but when you get up close, who's on it?
It's Bin Laden.
It's Bin Laden, Osama Bin Laden.
It's George Bush,
Saddam Hussein.
Bin Laden and Saddam Hussein.
And Hitler.
They're all the killers.
Yeah, they're all the killers.
You know, the one I like best is Bart Marley.
Bart Marley is good.
I think that's got...
You the first time. I thought you might not like it.
If I buy that top hat, then I have to wear the top hat, and Joe has to wear the Bart Marley T-shirt to introduce Madness. What about that, Joe?
Okay then.
Are you up for
all right,
it?
Then.
All right, we're going to buy
If that's what the kids are wearing, is it?
Yeah.
There we go. I got to do it in that case.
Hey, thank you so much for your help.
No, thank you.
This podcast comes from a corner of the BBC that you can listen to if you have got a DAB. It is called Six Music,
the secret station.
Now here's Joe with the film news.
Hey, hello. Now, as many people might have noticed, it's a bit of a thin last couple of weeks for films.
What are you talking about? Hellboy 2? That's the hit of the blockbusting hit of the summer. That's got amazing reviews.
No, it's very
reviews.
Exciting. But, you know, there hasn't been much amazing good stuff released in the last couple of weeks apart from Hellboy 2 because the screens are dominated by the two behemoths of the summer.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight.
Right.
A brilliant, gloomy film about terrorism. And the other behemoth of the summer, Mamma Mia.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Don't Mess With the Zohan.
No, that is good, though.
It's supposed to be good.
I quite recommend that.
Yeah.
No, the other massive, unstoppable hit is Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
The film version of the ABBA stage musical. And I'd been resisting going to see it. But my daddy, who is a very clever man, and he sort of gave me my love of cinema as a child, but he used to be into... you know, Visconti and Louis Malle, Erich Rohmer.
Yeah.
You know, very sophisticated taste in cinema. He is addicted to the Mamma Mia.
Does he love it?
He's seen it that many times.
Wow, 4 times?
I know. He loves it. So does my mum. They can't stop watching it.
So did they go and see the theatre production?
Nope.
No.
It's all about the film.
It's all about the cinematic experience.
So I thought I'd better find out what was going on, what the deal was.
Plus, you love Bronholm.
I do love Pierce Bronholm.
Yeah.
I do think he's one of the most remarkable actors in circulation.
You'll take any bit of Bronholm
Dante's
going.
Peak, one of my favourite films.
You love it.
So I thought, this is a must-see for the cornballs.
Yeah.
So I went along to try and see it at the Brixton Ritzy. And this is what, 6 weeks after its initial release? Sold out.
Of course it is.
Not a seat in the house. 6:20 show.
Yeah.
So I take the car, the broom into the West End. Managed to park it.
You know there's an underground train system?
No, that's not pollutive enough.
Okay.
And, you know, I like to get home swiftish.
Sure.
So I went to see it at the Odeon West End. Very nearly sold out.
Uh-huh.
Sat in the very front row. Oh, my God.
Loved it.
Are you going to see it?
Well, no, it was low on my list.
In terms of listeners, it's probably 50-50. Some will have seen it. They'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
I had it jostling for importance with the Sex and the City movie.
Right.
In my must-see.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. Mamma Mia, you've got to see it.
Right.
It's like a massive amateur dramatic production with stars in it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's as if they didn't rehearse the dancing. They haven't really rehearsed the script. They've had to shoot it in a terrific rush. But that's all forgiven because of the sheer exuberance and joie de vivre. It's like going to see your kids in a school play and finding that Meryl Streep and Pierce Brosnan and Hugh... What's his name? Fernley Whittingstall. What's his name? The man from St. Trinian's and everything. Colin Firth.
Colin Firth.
Hugh Colin Firth. And all the big
Hootie.
Stars are in it.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. There's dance sequences that are so encapture just the joy of spontaneous, non-choreographed dancing that you can't fail to be swept away. The audience I was watching it with was almost entirely female.
Mm-hmm.
Five or six quite confused, angry men sitting there. But then as the film goes on, you realise that you have to give into it. There's no point in sitting there being a stick in the mud.
Right.
You've got to capitulate to the pure, raw power, and raw it is. And I just ended up loving it.
And were you satisfied on a Bronholm-loving level?
Well, Bronholm sings a couple of the songs, and people had said that he sings them really badly. People in the reviews had said, look, when Bronholm comes on, you won't believe the pain on his face when he's singing.
The singing on Bronholm.
Bronholm has trouble squeezing out dialogue lines.
Yeah.
It's in a relaxed way.
He's and
that's
the king of
that's
grunting.
Part of his magic.
He
he's a good grunter.
Yeah.
But I was very pleasantly surprised when I heard him sing SOS. So I bought one of the tracks from a clip from the soundtrack.
Delightful.
So here's a clip of Bronholm singing SOS, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. You can kick it. Has a bit of a long opening SOS, but his voice is a lot better than I expected. You could turn it up a bit there, Claire.
It's very faithful to the original track there.
Well, it's got Bjorn and Benny working on it.
Has
stuff.
It?
Yeah.
Where are those happy days? They seem so hard to find. I try to reach for you, but you have closed
a bit louder?
Your mind.
I think it's good.
Whatever happened to our love? I wish I understood. It used to be so nice. It used to be so good.
He has a bit of a strain with this one.
So when you're near me, darling, can't you hear me? SOS.
Don't you think that's quite good?
Yes, that's very impressive.
Me, nothing else can
it's a bit, it's a bit out of tune. He's really belting those lines out.
When you're gone, like a knife. Try to go on.
Anyway, you don't have to listen to it anymore.
That's
obviously not Pierce. I have got some real Brosnan, though. Here, play the real
so
Brosnan.
This is why you didn't get your Song Wars song written.
Well, that only took me a few hours.
Sat there doing your
Here, play
Pierce
the next
Brosnan.
One, Claire. Activate it.
Is this the real one now?
This is the real Pierce.
Okay.
And I was genuinely pleasantly surprised. He's really trying. He's really pushing. Here comes the genuine Brosnan.
Where are those happy days? They seem so hard to find.
Fine.
I try to reach for you, but you have closed your mind. Whatever happened to our
What do you think?
He sounds like Prince Charles.
He does. I love Brosnan. I think I'm in love with Brosnan.
You love Pierce Brosnan?
I think he's amazing. Oh, yeah. Turn it up.
So when you're near me, darling, can't you hear me? Yes, the love you gave me, nothing else can save me.
It's a terribly... You can turn it down a bit
carbuncle.
Now.
It's a carbuncle.
It's a good film. I recommend it. And famously, if you don't know it by now, at the end, they just give up all pretense of making a film and just do a sort of Stars in Their Eyes style variety performance.
Yeah.
With them all dressed in like high heels and flares and stuff. And they do two tracks. And in between, Meryl Streep turns to the camera, breaks the fourth wall and goes, "You want another one?"
No.
Yeah.
Because it's like the theatre.
It's like the theatre. They haven't done that since Scrooge. Bill Murray and Scrooged. What other films do that?
Surely.
Or Funny Games.
I bet they do that in High School the Musical.
Michael Haneke should have directed Mamma Mia. But when she turns to the audience and says what she says, everyone in the Odeon West End screamed for more.
No.
Yeah, there was applause.
Normally reserved British public.
I couldn't tell whether... I thought they might have snuck some applause on the surround sound.
Snack.
Snacked it in.
They snack them in.
But I don't think they had. It was genuine. The sound of people... The sound of people being really happy.
It was joy, pure joy.
I forgot that sound, the sound of pure joy. Meanwhile, the sound of Batman the Dark Knight was bleeding through from the cinema below.
Mm.
There was no joy downstairs.
No.
It was all miserable pantomime terrorism analogies.
Right, right.
Whereas upstairs, with Mama and Pierce...
That was a great chat. Here comes another Adam and Joe are rocking the podcast now.
Oh, Martin.
Excuse me.
Now, listen, I was moving this week. I've got some moving tales for you later on in the show. That's exciting, isn't it?
Mm.
But in the process of moving, one of the things I had to do was hire a car. Do you like hiring cars?
I don't like the process of hiring them, but when I'm in them, I love it.
You know, it depends on who you hire them from, obviously, because I've had some very bad experiences with certain car hire companies.
There's a place down the road from us
right.
that we've talked about before.
And you can be there for a couple of hours before anyone talks to you, and then when you're returning the thing, it might take even longer.
I'm sure we've discussed this before.
Possibly. But anyway, I tried a different one this week.
Well done.
I won't say the name of the company. I will call it instead Colonel Kurtz Car Hire.
It doesn't bode well.
No, you would think not. But I was very pleased.
Really?
With Kurtz. Mm. And it was enjoyable. But one of the things I noticed on the wall while I was waiting, not very long to be served,
good.
Was a poster advertising the fact that you can hire cars from them, and I'm sure you can do this in most rental companies, that come with DVDs in the back of the seats for the kiddies in the
back. Right, little telescreens.
Little telescreens. Mm. And you can put your DVD on there and pacify the kiddles, which is great for a long journey. But they had, they'd kind of framed the advertisement for this service like a film poster, you know?
Clever.
So they had, you know, I was struck by the cleverness. And it said, Kurtz, in-car DVD system, now showing in a Kurtz car near you.
Wow.
Like a film poster.
Yes.
And in big capitals. And then beneath that, they'd done like fake review quotes.
Right.
You know, from what I assume was a made-up family
yeah.
that had been using this car. So the first one was just 5 stars in quotes.
Right.
From the Hobson family.
Right.
So they talked to the Hobson family and they just said, we're going to give it, we've talked about it. We're going to give the in-car system 5 stars, but I don't want you to put the word 5 stars. I want you to do it with just asterisks.
Yeah, that's how the Hobsons rate things.
Exactly.
The Hobsons rate things on a star level.
They're very specific.
They've recently gone up to 6 stars.
Have they?
They very seldom use the 6, but it's important it's there just in case something extra special comes along.
Like Time Out.
Like Time Out, maybe.
That's what makes Time Out so special for the intellectuals, because they
the
use
Hobsons
the extra star. They've got a different rating system. Then there were specific reviews from some of the Hobson family.
Right.
Joe, aged 9, said, "I never wanted it to end."
Right. That's unusual because kids usually can't wait to get there.
Exactly.
Mm.
Joe never wanted it to end because he was having such a good time.
He'd be happy if there was a nuclear Armageddon.
He would.
And his family just spent their whole time driving around.
Wouldn't care.
If that people were just fighting in the streets for oil, the one precious commodity left.
Yeah.
Dad tricked out the car with various knives and guns. And they just spent their lives roaming the derelict streets of post-apocalyptic Britain.
He wouldn't care. He'd still be watching Cars on the in-car DVD system there.
Right.
It would be a little bit like, what's that incredibly bleak film by the guy that directed The Green Mile and...
Oh, The Mist.
The Mist.
The end of The Mist.
It would be like The Mist with him just watching Cars on his in-car DVD system. So Joe, aged 9, loved it. I never wanted it to end. Abby, aged 39, presumably the mother of the Hobson family.
Gosh, no, she's the older daughter.
Anyway, she said the kids loved it.
Right.
They absolutely loved it. The kids loved it. She was very pleased about it.
She's not a very bright woman.
Why not?
Because she's just covering old ground. I mean, that was made clear by Joe's rating, wasn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, the kids obviously loved it. Mum. Anyway, you can't hold stuff like that against mums. They're so busy. They haven't got time to... Plus, think.
What's her problem with it? Why didn't she love it?
Because of what they were watching.
You know, could she not just go round and sit between them and watch a bit of Cars herself? She wasn't driving. Abby never drives.
They weren't watching Cars.
Were they not?
No, the kids, that doesn't entertain kids these days.
Right.
Horror porn. They were watching.
Saw 5.
She finds it disgusting.
Well, Natalie, aged 7, the youngest member of the Hobson family, says...
Little Nat.
Yeah, she says, pure entertainment.
Right.
Now, is that really something a 7-year-old would say?
She's not talking about the in-car system. She's talking about smack.
Right.
Some really high-grade smack she got in the playground.
She's the youngest junkie of the Hobson family. No, that's not true. She's not talking about smack.
She's not talking about that.
She's talking about the in-car DVD system, but she's using the phrase pure entertainment.
Yeah, she's fed up with impure entertainment.
Is that how children really talk these days?
They like purity. They're like little Nazis.
Did you like Kung Fu Panda, Tommy? Pure entertainment! 5 stars!
5 stars!
Yeah. I never wanted it to end!
That is how they talk.
Yeah. Have you seen Kung Fu Panda?
Yeah.
It's all right, isn't it?
It's wicked.
It's getting amazing reviews.
It deserves them.
Yeah?
It is wicked.
Well, it's not that wicked.
The bit where he's breaking out of the prison...
I wanted it to end.
Did you?
Yeah.
You want to get an in-car DVD system.
Nice book. Nice old book. Yeah. Nice book. Nice liquor book.
I went on holiday to Spain, and me and my lady partner, we booked a couple of nights in a very posh spa hotel.
Ooh.
We thought we'd go posh at the beginning, and then go a bit cheaper for the main body of the holiday.
That's strange. I would do it the other way around.
Well, we ended up spending the whole holiday in the spa. Yeah, because we didn't like the other place. Anyway, so when we first got there, we decided to book ourselves some treatments. Have you ever had that kind of thing?
Yes, I have.
Have you been to a spa and
I
had
have.
A treatment?
Yes, on my honeymoon.
Have you had a massage?
Yeah, and it really takes it out of you.
Have you had an elaborate massage?
Certainly I have.
Like you know, exotic orange aromas of the Himalayas.
Had the whole thing. I mean, it was everything but sensual. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, listen, let me talk you through my massage.
Certainly.
I was very excited. And I find, my problem is I find massage, whoever does it, slightly erotic.
Of course.
Even a sort of grisly old football manager massaging David Beckham's shin.
Your sports injuries.
I would imagine there was a sexy frisson.
Sure.
An unavoidable sexy frisson.
Human contact.
So that's the first thing that gets me anxious before the massage, which is supposed to be a very relaxing thing. That's the whole point.
And it's not something you do very often, presumably.
No, no. One does it as a special treaty.
Special
poo-poo.
Treat. Poo-poo.
So I thought, I'm going to be so relaxed. This is when I finish this massage, I'm going to be more relaxed than any man has ever been.
Was your lady partner having the massage at the same time in the same room?
She had hers before.
But in a different room, right?
In the same room.
In the same room, but
you
weren't
there
together.
There was only one massage. It's very boutique, this place, Adam. It's one massage room. It was clean between massages. Anyway, I thought, after this massage, I'm going to be so relaxed, I'll be unable to walk.
Sure.
But weirdly, the massage made me very tense for the following reasons. Reason one was the erotic nature of the massage. And I knew I was going to expose my naked body to this woman.
Oh, totally
naked.
Way
that, well, it wasn't naked, but... So I go into this little room. And the following sort of music is playing in the background. This isn't the real music, but I've attempted to recreate the sort of music in the massage room.
Nice and new agey.
Thank you. Can you hear the Amazonian...
Sure, the birds. And... Oh, this chanting.
Yeah, that was what was going on.
Was that you chanting there?
No, well, that's me, but I'm just trying to capture the
I love music
actual
like
chanting that
I
was
genuinely
going on.
Do.
So I go into this room. This music's playing. This very lovely woman with black curly hair. All wearing sort of floppy black clothing. She's got limited English, so she says, "Hello, sit. Please take off clothes."
I go, okay. So I take off my clothes modestly, and she exits for
that. Not whole clothes!
But she leaves me a tiny, tiny plastic bag.
Ah.
Very small, what one might call a dime bag.
Right.
With some sort of article of clothing in it. So she leaves the room, I unwrap the article of clothing, and it's the smallest little paper thong you've ever set your eyes upon.
A thong.
So I slip on this tiny thong, completely naked now, with a little piece of string going between my buttocks and a tiny little bag for my bits and bobbins at the front. And I put this thing on and I feel very exposed. I think I can't, the woman can't come back into the room and see me like this.
No.
So I wrap a towel around myself.
Sure.
She comes back in. She says, take off towel.
Ooh.
I take off the towel. Reveal my tiny little man packet.
Yeah.
That's not in a state of interest. You might have to loop the massage music, James. So I'm feeling a bit compromised because of that, you know.
She starts giggling.
She repressed a smile. And I lay on the bed, and my massage involved being covered in oils and then rubbed with salt.
Mm-hmm.
With and salt. Then, yeah, it was like a chicken being prepared.
Wow.
And then she put some sort of herbal sauce on me.
Coriander.
And she was being very invasive. Mm-hmm. Well, not that. She was being very uninvasive with the thumbs. But they did get very, very close to certain areas.
Special places.
And it was oily. So if she'd slipped, that thumb would have gone right up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was within seconds of happening.
Well, she's a professional. She's
Does
not going to let
sort of
that
thing
happen.
Happen to you?
Not on a regular basis.
It's never... No.
But it did. I mean, I know what you mean. The massage I had, I mean, it was extreme.
It's an inch away from danger at all points.
But listen, how did you feel afterwards?
Well, there was... let me just get to a moment in the middle. I was lying on this bed. I was lying on a sheet of plastic covered in oil and salt and herbs.
Coriander, yeah.
And then she wraps me up in this plastic because that's part of the, treatment.
She pops you in the oven.
And she says, I leave for 10 minutes. You lie, relax. So I left... she left the room and I was lying there wrapped in plastic, covered in all these things, listening to the massage music. I just fade up the massage music for a bit to try and recreate that moment. And for about a minute, I felt really relaxed.
Yeah.
But then I started to feel like an idiot. Like this was the stupidest thing to be doing. Lying wrapped in plastic in a tiny little room, completely on my own, listening to... Like insane...
Good music, I like
good music.
Yeah.
To good Amazonian chanting.
Sure it is.
That's the end of the story. She came back in, I unpeeled my plastic, I had a shower, washed it all off, and I sort of felt weirder and more tense than I did when I went in.
Yeah, did you... Because the thing that can happen with a massage, like a really amazing massage, is that afterwards you feel totally drained, and it brings like a lot of toxins out of you. I don't know what exactly it does to you, but you feel much worse than you did before you went in, like for a day.
I'll tell you the other thing she did.
Yeah.
Is she massaged my face, and I didn't know what expression to have on my face.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because my eyes are closed and hers are open.
Yeah.
I wanted her to think I was really relaxed. So I tried to look as relaxed as possible. Then she starts massaging my face in such a way that it opens my mouth. Like that. So I'm making silly little noises. While she's massaging my face. Anyway, this whole very serious ritual to me was just like a comic assault course.
That's the other thing that can happen is you can get the giggles. Our friend Garth was telling me about when he got a massage. And he just started laughing hysterically. And he couldn't stop. Like, every single touch, he was just howling with laughter. And they weren't able to administer the proper massage in the end because he was incapacitated by chuckles.
It hurt me quite badly as well.
Yeah.
Her thumbs were really causing me pain. And I didn't want to say anything because I thought it would be unmanly.
Mm-hmm. It was unmanly for you to go and get the massage in the first place.
In the first place, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was expensive as well.
I bet. That was nice. It was relaxing just hearing the story and hearing the music.
Yeah, we might put my massage music up on the blog as well. And then if you want to do an erotic massage with your partner, you will have some inauthentic Amazonian rainforest chanting.
Send us the video. Do you mind if I just do a little massage on you during this
Not
next
at all.
Song?
Can
this
you,
is Passion
can you,
Pit.
Can you do the balls?
Of your feet?
Yes.
Yes, certainly.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
Thank you. You've been wonderful. Throw me your dirty pants. I'll wash them and get them back to you. Thank you.
BBC Six Music Podcasts.
If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show, Sundays from 4.
Six Music.